When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
HD Smartcast. You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to Mint Dialogues, a weekly podcast where we focus on the big questions in personal finance and investing. My name is Neil Borate and I head the personal finance team at Mint. I will be your host for this podcast. The podcast is a Mint production and is available on hdsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform.
Hello and welcome to Mint Dialogues, our weekly podcast on personal finance and investing. I am Satya Sultanam from Mint's personal finance team. In this episode, we are going to talk about a very interesting topic on yield curve. We'll discuss what an yield curve is, what are the different types of curves, what do they indicate, and how to make an investment decision based on a yield curve. To explain us in simple terms about, we have with us Kaustubh Gupta, who is the co-head of fixed income at Aditya Birla Sun Life AMC. As co-head, Kaustubh leads the overall fixed income portfolio management at the AMC. Now let's get started. Hi Kaustubh, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
Good, Satya.
Thank you. In this episode of Mint Dialogues podcast, we would like to learn the basic concepts of yield curve. Kaustubh, we have been seeing in the news that benchmark G-Sec yields are going up and yield curve is steepening. First and foremost, can you tell us what an yield curve is and what does it mean to a common man?
Okay, so before we come to yield curve, let me just quickly, in probably one line, explain what is the interest rates.
Sure.
So the way we understand interest rates, it is a combination of the risk-free curve, which is decided by the regulator, in our case RBI. Then there is a credit risk premium, which is basis the borrower's solvency, how much market think or deem fit the appropriate credit spreads that market want.
Okay.
Then there is a liquidity premium, which is dependent upon the stance of central banker. And then there are term premiums. So if you combine all four, it becomes an interest rate for various different tenure.
So
like barter system, money is exchanged between borrower and lender. So you can say interest rate is a way to compensate lender for the sacrifice that he is given by way of lending money to the borrower. Now, coming to the yield curve, in a simple word, you can say that it helps in some bit of a visual snapshot of the entire interest rate across tenure. So, for example, there is a overnight rate, there is 1 month rate, 3 month rate, 6 month rate, 1 year rate, 2 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year, 50 year, and so on and so forth.
Okay.
So, what yield curves depict is that it gives us a snapshot of for the similar risk profile borrower, but different maturity, at what rate that borrower will be able to borrow money. This is what known as yield curve. Now, let me just differentiate between the sovereign yield curve and corporate yield curve. When we look at the sovereign yield curve, the risk premium, which is a credit risk premium, will be negligible because sovereign, being they have power to tax people, it is assumed that there is no or negligible credit risk in a sovereign curve. So of the four components that we spoke about, that is risk-free curve, credit risk premium, liquidity premium and term premium, in sovereign curve, assumed credit risk premium is negligible. So when we are talking about the government yield curve, it consists of broadly risk-free rate, liquidity premium and term premium.
Okay.
On the other hand,
okay,
when you are looking at the corporate yield curve, What gets added is the credit premium. Because each borrower is different, their solvency, liquidity, and to some extent, they are varied basis their balance sheets. So market demand different credit premium from different borrower. For instance, from a AAA borrower, like you can say a Government of India, SPVs like NABARD, SIDBI, EXIM, again, the credit curve will be very negligible, but there will be some bit of credit curve which will be present along with some bit of liquidity premium, which is somewhat higher than the sovereign curve. On the other end, if Reliance Industries is borrowing, which is a top-notch AAA entity, their yield will be somewhat higher than these PSU AAA, but again, very marginally higher because it is again assumed that the Reliance balance sheet is very strong. But when you go down on the rating curve, which is from AAA to AA plus, AA, AA minus, A plus and below, for every credit rating migration, markets warrants some bit of additional compensation for diluting the credit standard. So, which is why the corporate curve is somewhat higher than the sovereign curve, and large part of that gap is explained by credit premium. So, this is how we see credit curve across tenures for similar risk profile borrower.
Understand. But when we see yield curve in the news, what yield curve are they referring to?
So when you see yield curve, it is generally they are referring to that pictorial representation of that similar risk borrower. So when you talk about sovereign yield curve, that means that where is Government of India able to borrow right from one day to up to 50 years. So with every point, Government of India borrowing rate will be different because of inputs on account of term premium and liquidity premium. So that when we talk about sovereign yield curve, that is representative of what is the borrowing rate of Government of India. When we are talking about SDL yield curve, that's the state government where they are able to borrow in the markets across tenure. So basically it's a bucketing of similar risk profile borrower for different bucketing, right from one day, 50 and 100 years.
So you're saying that a common can look at it and understand that, you know, the borrowing cost, you know, the yield curve is representative of the borrowing cost for different tenures.
Of similar risk profile borrower.
Absolutely.
So that's the key. That's the key. Because when you are looking at the yield curve, if you don't if you don't differentiate between the similar risk borrower, the credit curves or the credit premium will basically it will in some sense they will give you an incorrect picture, which is why you have to normalize the credit premium and then look at what rate that particular borrower or similar rated or similar risk profile borrower is able to borrow across tenure.
Sure. Also, we understand is whenever RBI increases the rate, the banks also will increase the rate, and that's when my borrowing cost will increase. But here, RBI is not raising interest rates as of now, but the yields are going up. Why is it so?
Look, RBI raises interest basis their understanding of current macroeconomic situation. What yield curve, because they are basically an indication is what you can say, they are not picturization of what will happen, or rather you can say that they won't be able to picturize when RBI is talking about rate hikes or rate low. They take into account only the current rate of state of economy and maybe somewhat nearer. But market's job is to differentiate or rather to at margin guide by various buyers and sellers. They decide that what is also the future outlook. And that's where at times, rather most of the times, before central bankers moving rate up or down, markets by their regular intervention between buyer and seller, they try to at margin indicate that what is likely state of the economy, not only in the current economy, but also the future. And which is why, although RBI has not started hiking rates from reverse repo, but markets understand that RBI is mopping up large amount of liquidity in auction route, which means that practically large portion of surplus liquidity is being absorbed more at 399 rather than 335. So markets not only take this into consideration, market also take into consideration what is RBI likely to do in future, and basis yield curves, they generally tends to preempt what the central bankers are going to do.
Understood. Now coming back to the yield curve part, so what are the different kinds of yield curves and what do they indicate?
So look, again, it depends on the both current state of the economic affairs and also the future outlook for the economy. It also has some bit of how much the borrower funding needs are, whether they are exceptionally large or they are normal, or they are borrowers are don't want to borrow. It also depends on what's the credit conditions and the environment in the country and specifically for that borrower, and at margin the liquidity conditions. Because as you asked me in the previous questions, RBI can only lever that RBI has is to lay out what is the current funding rate. Now markets take into account all these factors and accordingly they decide the curvature or with how the slope of the curve will look like. Now when you say yield curve, they can be normal, they can be steep, they can be inverted, they can be flat, they can be humped. Now this shape of the curve, which is more a reflection of market forces where they deem think it's appropriate, or you can say that it is what the infer of the crowd wisdom, which is available on the free markets. It gives some bit of peep into what is the state of the economy or the company likely to be even in future.
Kaustub, can you explain when you say a curve is steep or when you say a curve is flat, what do you mean by that? That means, you know, the interest rates of a 1 year or a 10 year or not far from each other, is what does it indicate in terms of interest rates?
Yeah, so in your example, you're right about the flatness of the curve. So as I again hinted a while back that there are various curvature that markets try to infer basis their assessment. So the yield curve can be normal, steep, inverted, or maybe flat. Now a curve is or the yield curve is normal when it slopes up gently with the increase in maturity. Why? Because as I told you at the inception that interest rates are part of risk-free rate plus liquidity premium and term premium. So as you borrow longer, you need to compensate the lender for the longer time frame. But given that the economy is in good state, the slopes are gently upward sloping. And you can say to some extent, in the pictorial format, it's like a 30 degree or a 40 degree arrow. That's an indication of the normal curve. It is what the policymaker desire, because it's an indication of the healthy state the economy is in. Curves become steep. Now, steep curves are, they look at margin like a normal curve, but they are somewhat steeper slope. So instead of a 30-40 degree slope, it's like a 75 degree arrow, if you want to plot. It's indication of that curve, that which indicates that currently the rates are low, maybe because of temporary disruption in the economy, like we are in the current economic time frame. But markets expect that the future will be good, and the central bankers, they need not keep rates lower for longer, and at some point of time they will start normalizing rates from their neutral rates. At times the curves can be inverted. Now this is like a policy nightmare, because curves become inverted when the shorter end is higher than the longer end of the curve. It slopes down from up from top to bottom. It also indicates that the economy may not be doing well rightly, or there are some financial instability, which is why rates are too high. And eventually, in order to support the economy, central bankers, they need to cut rates. You can say that it's an indication of that, or it's an indication that in future markets are trying to price in some bit of recession or recessionary forces which could come into play. And the fourth is what you guided, like a flat curve. Now, in this, generally the short-term rates and long-term rates, they are usually essentially more like same. You can say like a 5-degree or 10-degree slope. Usually when the markets reassess the transition phase of policy from the economic cycle of one end to another end, curves at times they tend to get somewhat flatter because it's like a transition phase from one curve to another curve. So in that scenario, generally the short-term rates are very much nearer to the long-term rates where they are likely to be. Now, just to give you a flavor, historically in India, at least till 2013, curves were generally flat beyond 1 year and 2 year. And the reason was that at least till 2013, there were a lot of uncertainties with regard to the liquidity framework and the continuation of the current monetary policy at that point of time. Because we being emerging markets, there are so many moving parts. So the interest rate cycles were shallow, and which is why curves were pricing in some bit of unknown events, and curves and tend to be flat. But post 2013, RBI has institutionalized the liquidity framework, and post which is why generally post 2014-15 curves have tended to be somewhat you can say normal or steeper instead of flat.
Okay, now you're saying that the yield curve is slightly steep. Why does it happen? I mean, why are the rates for the longer tenures are much higher than the shorter term bonds?
So the answer to this question comes from the fact that where RBI thinks the real rate should be. Now, what is a real rate? Real rate is nominal rate minus the expected inflation. Now, when economy is doing bad, generally RBI bring down real rates to the lower end of their comfort level. RBI, from time to time, they have guided markets that they think the real rates in the country should be between 0 to 1.5%. So, if economy is not doing well, they bring this nominal rates the real rates on the lower end by bringing down the nominal rates despite having somewhat of higher inflation. So it's a way to to support economy, and which is why in current scenario, because we are still dealing with pandemic, our short-term rates are on the lower bounds, which is more like 3.35. Now, in a yield curve, short-term rates are generally guided by what's the liquidity stance and what is the funding rate of the central banker, which is in our case RBI. So today, because the funding rate is 3.35, or you can say the corridor is 3.35 to 4, so most of the short-term rates, they will anchor themselves between 3.35 to 4 because the liquidity is abundant and it is likely to remain in the surplus zone for a reasonably long period of time. So most of the short-term rates, which is up to 1 year and 2 years, they have aligned themselves where the funding rate is, or rate at which RBI thinks the call money rate should be. Now, but in long term, because markets are quite convinced that Indian growth inflation framework is quite robust, and eventually rates in India need to be risen once we are out of this pandemic shocks. So markets are factoring in some bit of steep rate hikes over course of next 1 year, 2 year and 3 year. To be precise, markets are factoring about 100 basis of rate hike over course of next 1 year from a funding rate, about 180 basis point in 2 year, and about closer to 260-270 basis point in the time frame for next 3 years. So market starts baking in that, okay, today the rates are low and they are lower bounds. They are more aligning with the call money rates, but maybe 3 months, 6 months, 12 months down the line, once RBI starts taking the lever of interest rates higher, this override funding rates will move very fast, and it will move in line with these expectation or anticipation of rate hikes, which is why markets interest rate curves in India today, they are very steep. The credit curves, given that the most of the banking balance sheets and the corporate balance sheets, they are in pink of health, The credit spreads, they are quite low. And given that the government is there as a large borrower, they have deviated from their fiscal deficit of 3.5% prior to pre-pandemic to more like 6.8% this year and likely to be 6.6 to 6.2% next year. Markets are factoring that irrespective of, you can say, the borrowing program, RBI will choose to take the short-term rates higher, and which is why markets rates or implied rates in markets, they are steep.
Understood. Now, as we understand the basics of what yield curve is, can you tell us, Kaustubh, on how can investors use this, you know, information on yield curve for their investment decisions?
So you need to keep in mind that yield curve is an indication and it's not a prediction what's going to happen in future, right? So you can say that okay, yield curve can be both as an opportunity or signal to one's view. Whether his view with respect to the wisdom, crowd wisdom view is aligned or not. For example, that markets are factoring 100 basis of rate hike right at the start of last calendar year. In January of 2021, market expected that RBI will hike rates by 100 basis point. Nobody knew that we will have second wave and which will push the rate normalization path into the current calendar year.
Okay.
So, which is why you need to take these yield curve as one of your inputs while assessing the economic barometers among your various dashboards. But one should not think that that's the sole decision factor. And which is I am saying that how it can be an opportunity. If you think that markets are pricing 100 basis of rate hikes in this year, and but you think that no, the economy is still struggling, the consumption piece is not moving, capex is yet to pick up, and most likely the preferred tool of normalization will be liquidity rather than rate, then it may happen that RBI may not hike by 100 basis point in current calendar year. So then it gives a difference between what probability the markets are assigning of rate hike and what you think basis your economic judgment that RBI will be able to do. And if there is a difference among the two, it can create an opportunity for you. At the same time, it can give you some bit of a reference check as well, that you think that the rate hikes will be 50 basis point only, but if markets or the crowd wisdom is saying that no, RBI will be hiking rates by 100 basis points, it gives you some food for thought that whether that investors' assessment of economy is right or not. So, which is why investors need to look upon these yield curve along with other economic barometers while assessing and decide the probabilistic scenarios, whether what is factored in by the markets will play out or not, and basis that it's both an opportunity and a signal to that investor's view.
Kaustubh, can you give us an example on how yield curves can be used to make an investment decision on whether investing in a short-term bond or a long-term bond or a medium-term bond? How can we do such analysis using a yield curve?
Yeah, sure. So look, basis your holistic assessment of economic situation, you come out with a view that no, the growth is still struggling, which means that RBI may keep real rates lower for longer. RBI may keep liquidity easier for longer, but markets are factoring in that the risk is that that RBI will hike rates by 100 basis points. So in that case, because the risk is very well calligraphed and it is being already priced in by these yield curves, you can just go long on these yield curve. So if 1 year CD or 1 year swap, for example, they are trading more like
can you give the full form of the CD for the benefit of our listeners?
Yeah, sure. So for example, in case ICICI Bank wants to borrow and they are looking to borrow 1 year at more like 4.5 to 4.60. That's for the sake of example. And your current funding rate is like 3.35. So what the 4.5, 4.60 rate is factoring into, given that the the credit risk in ICICI Bank CD is negligible or lower, given that the up to 1 year the term premiums ideally should.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches, but there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Should not be very steep, because you have much more visibility in terms of what is RBI likely to do, or the impact of shorter end will be very much connected with what RBI is likely to do over the course of next 1 year in terms of keeping the policy rate. So if you are of the view that markets are pricing in that instead of investing today in cash or in CBLO or repo at 335, let me buy ICICI Bank CD at, for example, at 460. So what it in essence does is that it gives you about 125 basis point of compensation for foregoing your current cash for 1 year, 1 year money to ICICI Bank. Now, it may happen that at the end of 1 year, RBI may be able to just take the funding rate from 335 to 4 because your assessment of economic conditions turn out to be better than what is priced in by the markets, which means that daily overnight rate, average funding rate for next 1 year will be more like between 335 to 4, depending on when RBI starts hiking rates. So let's take a middle point that average funding rate will be at 375 for next 1 year. So what you end up essentially earning at the end of 1 year is that you end up earning the difference between 4.5 to 460 minus 375, which is your compensation for the risk that you take. And because markets were in various probabilistic scenario, they were factoring in the largest share of probability that the RBI will hike rates by 125 basis point, but RBI end up hiking rates on an average by just 50 to 60 basis points. This 50-60 basis point of term premium, or the average average 70 basis point of term premium, you end up earning into your pocket. So that's your compensation for the risk that you take for moving your money instead of parking for overnight, but committing your money for 1 year. So, which is why I'm saying that that markets at different point of time, because the markets have both buyers and sellers, at different point of time, markets keeps on reassessing these probabilistic scenarios. And basis that, they keep on identifying various opportunities and threat between what's their internal assessment of the things are and what is being priced in by the markets. And if there is a gap, then it becomes an opportunity both for buyer and seller, depending on the side you are in.
Okay, Kaustubh, in the current scenario, what do you suggest based on the yield curve that is there? So what do you suggest investors, fixed income investors, to do?
Look, in our assessment, currently the curves are way steep because, as I told you, that they are hiking very sharp rate hikes or normalization by RBI. Now, in our assessment of the economy, consumption side is still struggling. And as a matter of fact, our absolute level of both nominal and real consumption is below what it used to be pre-pandemic. There are conditions which are conducive for the new capex cycle, but still you can say the willingness and of these borrowers to borrow and to start the new capex cycle looks somewhat distance away. So which is why in our view these steep curves they do provide some bit of opportunity for the investors, provided they are ready to stay for the period they are committing themselves. Now, what should be the consideration when invest into a steep curves? The consideration is not capital gains and loss, but rather the volatility or the pace of rate hikes, whether the pace of rate hikes which is being priced in by the markets, does that compensate you for the potential walls or potential up move in yield curve? If the answer to that question in your assessment is true, these steep yield curves, they gives opportunity by investing at a higher term premium. If at the same time, if RBI ends up hiking rates more than what is priced in by the markets, then it becomes a cost, because If today you can invest in ICICI Bank CD at 4.5%, and if 3 months down the line the ICICI Bank CD move from 4.5% to 5%, probably the additional term premium that you start earning today may not be good enough to compensate you for the potential mark-to-market losses. So in our view, which is why you need to look for optimal exploitation in this steep yield curve. You need not necessarily to be owning very long points, because in the long points, the realized carry is, it may be more compromised when yield moves very adversely. Rather, one has to choose very appropriate points on the yield curve where carry adjusted for duration, it seems that the risk is well priced in. Just to give you a flavor in terms
sorry,
of example.
Sorry, Kasar, could you explain that carry
point? So I'm coming to that only. For example, today 4.5 year Gavi or government bond is trading closer to 6% versus overnight rate of 3/4 or 1 year rate of you can say 4.5 to 4.60. So effectively, what you are getting is about 150 basis point of extra carry by moving your duration from 1 year to this 4.5 year maturity paper. Now, 4.5 year maturity paper has a duration of about closer to, you can say, 3.8, and 1 year CD has a duration of closer to, again, 1 year. So the difference between the two, which is 3.8 minus the other alternative which you can choose, ICICI Bank CD, the difference is that if you are ready to move your duration profile from instead of 1 year to 3.8 year, the duration gap is like 2.8 year. For this 2.8 year, the difference in carry is between 6 minus 4.5, which is closer to 1.5 buck. So every what this is proposing is that that about 1.5 buck you can earn additional carry just to move your duration from 1 year to like 1 year to like 3.8 year of mod. So this is about, you can say, 40 basis of in analyzed terms, about 40 basis of yield buffer that you have, that even if instead of 6 the 3.8 year mod GSEC moves by about 40 basis higher, is still most likely the duration adjusted and carry adjusted, it will not lead to any kind of loss, because at the end of 1 year, the 3.8 year mod bond, the residual mod becomes 2.8. And if you are selling,
what is mod? Sorry.
So mod is your interest rate risk, that for every basis move in interest rate, how much is your price is at risk? So, or how much is right. the capital gain or capital loss that you can incur? Yeah. So it's like that. Even if this,
so it's the basic principle for bonds. As the yes. rate increases, the prices fall.
Yes, the price moves. Price increases, how much the price moves? The basic indication comes from mod. That if I say that that the mod is 3.8, then for any additional one basis move, generally it leads to me a loss of about 0.038 basis points if there is a flat move in the yield curve. So coming back to our example, that even if the 4.5 year GSEC moves from 6 to 6.40, that you end up at the end of 1 year, you end up selling your 6% paper to 6.40. Because you are having a higher carry instead of 4.5, you end up earning 6 for this year. You won't be incurring any loss. If the yield curve moves higher than this 40 basis point, then of course you will incur some bit of loss. So that's kind of if it moves lower than 40 basis point, then there is a some bit of a potential capital gain that could accrue to the investors.
So are you saying that the higher interest that you may earn may compensate to the mark to market loss that you may incur on the bond holdings when the interest rates go up? That's what you meant?
Exactly. So instead of 4.5, you end up earning 6 for this next 1 year. So you end up earning 1.5 buck extra. Now, because the residual maturity is more like 2.8 year. So that 1.5 buck, it gives you about 40 basis of buffer, that instead of selling that GSEC, even if you end up selling at 6.40, your holding period return will be more like 4.5, which is where your 1 year CD was, right? So the emphasis the importance here is that you need to identify where you think that the curves are adequately pricing the risk, and basis that you identify what is the optimal point, and those optimal points gives you some bit of opportunity in the steep yield curve.
Kaustubh, investors are also very interested in equity markets. So does a yield curve predict anything about the equity market?
Yeah, of course. Look, like yield curve, even the equities have earnings yield. And so from an asset allocation perspective, when the P valuation expands manifold or the valuation becomes very expensive, the earning yields fall. So whenever you think that in terms of earning yield of equity is not sufficient enough for compensating you for the additional risk that you are taking in terms of certain flows to uncertain flows, because equities have uncertain, it's a bundle of uncertain flows. So if you think that the earning yields are lesser than earning yields of equity, which is a bundle of uncertain flows, is not good enough to compensate you to move from certain flows, which is what these yield curves, these interest rates movements gives you, or what these interest rates gives you. From asset allocation perspective, from time to time, we do advise investors to increase allocation from equity to debt and debt to equity and vice versa, as and when things. That's the way you also assess whether equities are cheap or not. When you, from an earning per share or the earning yield, you divide the benchmark yield curve or their holding average holding period yield curve, which is what you are likely to invest in these equities. It gives you some bit of matrices, and you need to compare that with your historical experience and likely scenario in the economy, and basis that you can modulate your asset allocation framework as well.
This is very interesting, Kaustubh. Can you give us an example?
What is happening since post-COVID? So since post-COVID, globally interest rates, they have brought down on their lower bounds. For example, US brought its interest rates closer to zero, RBI brought its interest rates closer to 3.5, right? Now, assuming that equity is a 15 to 20 year asset, when you are now buy and hold portfolio, one of the component in assessing the earning yield is what is the risk-free rate in the various equity valuation model. One of the input is the risk. What should be the risk-free rate at which the government is borrowing, for which you are not taking any kind of risk?
Absolutely.
Because interest rates have been brought down, generally your alternative, which is means that your benchmark for PE goes up, which means that instead of share trading at 20 bucks, it can trade even at 30 bucks with the risk-free rate lower. So, which means that if your historical framework is that, okay, the equity is appropriately priced, if it is if Nifty is trading at a 20, 21 times PE, just because of this change in input of risk-free rate, you can justify that instead of 20 bucks, the new run rate or new neutral rate should be more like 25, 26 PE, and accordingly, the valuation can go higher. So in that sense, the risk-free rate or the yield curve, they do influence other asset class, and that's true for not only equity, even gold. So if you see historically, gold has a very beautiful correlation with the real yield curves. If the real yield central bank starts hiking rates and starts pulling real yields, generally gold tends to do somewhat underperforming. At the same time, if real yields are lower, which means that the compensation or the risk can be higher, gold tends to do better. Which is why when Fed cut rates, we saw a large gold rally and into the COVID year, which is 2020. Now, since mid of last year, which is calendar year 2021, there are continuous indication that the real rates needs to now move back somewhat higher from a deep negative territory to somewhat neutral territory. So the gold at margin is having some bit of headwinds. So all asset class, in essence, is what I can say, that interest rates being the key component in terms of valuation matrices, so it does influence your asset allocation and your asset holding period returns accordingly.
Kaustubh, last question. What is the yield curve telling us about the asset allocation at this point of time?
Look, so in our assessment, the broad policy fabric is still financial repression, because what is happening is that most of the developed markets, specifically US, has clawed back in terms of growth quite reasonably. But the developing markets, they are still struggling, which means that, and given that there is a large overhang of debt, most likely the new neutral rate in this cycle will be a lot lower than what it used to be pre-pandemic. So my suggestion or my understanding is that the financial repression was the basic policy fabric that both fiscal and monetary policy makers, they institutionalized in response to the COVID, and it is likely to stay, which means that the real rates are likely to remain negative for longer than what otherwise the history has suggested us. And which is why, at least in our assessment, fixed income, at least the longer duration fixed income, they may not be able to compensating you for the potential risk that you are taking. And equity at margin, there are headwinds in terms of because of rising interest rates, but still because the real rates will remain much more negative than what they used to be in pre-pandemic, most likely there is a case for continuing overweight on the equity stance.
Okay, Kaustubh, just last one more. I will leave you at this with this question. What are the risks to keep in mind while assessing the yield curve?
Look, risks are pretty simple. That, as I told you at the inception, that it's all about probabilistic estimates of your economic assessment of things, then what is priced in by the markets. So, basis that, you will decide what is the optimal point, whether you want to invest in a particular curvature or particular yield curve. So the basic point is that if your basic assumptions on your understanding of economic variable starts changing, one need to respond to it, and accordingly they need to they need to change their portfolio in response to the change in their basic assumption of economic variables.
Sure. Thank you so much, Kaustubh. Thanks for your time. I'm sure listeners will have taken a lot of inputs from this podcast. Thanks for joining us again.
Thanks, Satya. Thanks for giving me the time.
Thank you for tuning in. We will be back next week with a fresh episode. If you have any questions or comments, you can reach out to me at neil.b@livemint.com. To give us feedback, you can reach out to us also on HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Clubhouse. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com or suno naye nazariye se.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.